Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the There's a Floodlight That Never Goes Out podcast. As ever, I'm joined by Tom and Will. How are we, guys?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Ed.
Great stuff. As you can see, we're back in the suits, which can only be one thing. It's that prestigious time of the year. It's the Floodlight Pod Awards, and this time it's for the Championship. We did our Premier League ones earlier this week, and we're going to be going through our Championship Team of the Year, our Players of the Year, Most Improved, Manager of the Year, all that stuff. And let's get straight into it then. We'll start off by saying what formations we've gone for in our teams, just to clear any possible confusion. So myself, I've gone for a bit of a continental 3-5-2 system. Tom, what have you gone for?
I've gone for the traditional catch-a-twa-twa, which in English is the 4-3-3.
Lovely stuff. And Will?
I'm playing the 3-4-3.
Lovely. Right. We'll start with goalkeeper. Every good team starts with the solid man between the sticks. Tom, who have you chosen?
I've plumped for Freddie Woodman. Now, I know it's probably the mainstream choice for goalkeeper in the Championship, and there's been a lot of decent keepers in the league this year. You know, normally there isn't. But I just don't think you can look past the Golden Glove winner in a division where there's 46 games played. And yeah, 20 clean sheets is ridiculous. Yes, he's had a decent defence in front of him, in the likes of Mark Gerhey, wing-backs of Bidwell and Roberts. But Swansea have fallen off second half of the season, and Woodman's won them games, or at least kept them in games. And I remember when they came to Oakwell, it was pre-DK and Morris, so it was a different era of Barnsley, but he came to Oakwell, he made two or three unbelievable saves. And the save that sticks in my memory is the one he made from Callum Britton. Callum Britton hits this strike from 30 yards out. It's got a nestle in the top corner. Any other keeper in the league doesn't get anywhere near it. Woodman tips it over the bar. And those little things as a keeper just sort of, I think it just pips Tim Krul for me, just because of them sort of saves. And I think he's destined for a future in the Premier League, whether that's with Swansea or not. But yeah, my goalkeeper of the season for sure.
And Will?
I've gone a little bit different. I've gone with Bielkowski from Millwall. And I think, it's a shout where, Tom was just saying about having such a good defence in front of him. And Bielkowski's get 17 clean sheets this season. A Millwall side where they're not underperformed, but, they haven't done anything amazing. And to pull 17 clean sheets out of that, I think, is pretty admirable. So, yeah, that's why I've gone with him. A bit of a different choice, but I think he's still a worthy recipient.
No, definitely. I mean, he always turns into a prime Gordon Banks when he plays us. Him and Dan Bentley, genuinely, they play their best games against us. I've gone for Tim Krul, personally. For me, one of his biggest attributes, and we've seen it time and time again throughout his career, is the guy just knows how to save penalties. I mean, 4 out of 5 this season. He's an absolute beast at them. 17 clean sheets as well, 2.6 saves per match. I said earlier, every great side starts with a good man between the sticks, and you can't get much better than Krul in this league. He's experienced, and in these sort of promotion charges that Norwich have been putting in this season, you need men like that in the dressing room. And a great shot stopper, everything about his game. So, yeah, I've gone for Tim Krul. I don't think there's many contentious decisions there, actually. I think
it's the three best keepers in the league, isn't it? Bielkowski, Krul and Woodman. So, yeah, like you said, not many contentious decisions
apart from
in that sector.
Maybe the cycling GK, just for being the cycling GK.
Football Twitter would have put him in there, 100%.
I love the cycling GK, but let's face it, lads, Watford are much better when Bachmann's in between the sticks.
He's really impressed this season when he's come in.
Yeah. Cycling GK does absolutely reek of a low move to Blackburn next season. So keep your eyes peeled for that one.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I don't think his vlog content will be able to continue in the Premier League, unfortunately, so he'll probably force a move so he can keep vlogging. We'll go to our defences then. Tom, if you've gone for 4-3-3, let's start with your fullbacks.
Yeah. So my left back, I mean, let's face it, as a Red, it could only be one man, and that man is Callum Stiles. I don't really like using this phrase now, seeing as it's been adopted by the mainstream media, but the Berry Baggio, I mean, it's an odd nickname for a left-back, but hey, he's a left wing-back in our system, isn't he? But he's been absolutely unbelievable for the Reds. You know, 7 goals and assists from left wing-back, 4 of them goals being winners in games, 114 tackles, which I think is either the most or the second most tackles in the league, only behind Omar Richards. And yet, like I said, a player who, at the start of the season, I can count myself amongst the Reds fans who are going, why on earth aren't we playing him in the middle of the park? And he just seems to have made that left wing back position his own, and he doesn't play like a traditional left wing back. So if this was a system where Callum Stiles was rooted at left back, it just wouldn't work. But it's the way that he's moulded that system, and he plays like an inverted sort of winger. I don't know how to describe it, but he's been absolutely superb for the Reds this season, and I'm going to have to talk about him later on in the podcast, as you lads know. And at right back, and I'll make sure to pronounce this correctly, is Max Aarons. Once again, he's just been the best right back in the Championship, you know, as he was last time for Norwich City. A 6.93 average rating for that man throughout this season, which for like a 21-year-old kid is unbelievable. And I think we forget how young he is just because of how many seasons he's been on the scene for now. 0.8 aerials per 90 as well, you know, for a bloke who's no taller than 5'6", that's pretty impressive too. You lads have got 3 at the backs, haven't you? So who are your outside centre halves?
So I'll go first. I mean, mine's probably cheating a little bit, but I've also got Max Aarons in there, like you, Tom.
Yeah.
And as you say, just unbelievable this season. I'm just looking now, 63 chances created. I mean, that is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously 2 goals, 2 assists. Yeah, just by star, the outstanding right back in this year's league.
Yeah.
And then for my left-sided, I've got 2 centre halves really, but I'll go for the first, the big pole, which is Michal Helic. What a player! I mean, not only is he a defender, but he scores goals for fun as well. How we picked this man up for, what was it, about 700 grand, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I reckon we've already probably tripled that value already, if not more.
I think honestly, I don't want to hyperbole it too much. I think he's worth at least 5 mil.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about an international centre back at the end of the day, aren't we? You know, so
yeah,
what can I say?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been outstanding this season for the Reds. Fair enough to Ismail, you know, he sort of used him wisely. Didn't, you know, he had those few games, if you remember, Tom, where he didn't pick him, and then he came back and he was like literally a different player. He was just unbelievable. Scores goals for fun. And has been a key man in this Barnsley team.
Yeah, he certainly has. Ed, who are your outside centre halves?
Well, I'm going for Helic as well.
Yeah.
You know, 5.4 clearances per game just sums up how good he is at the back. I've also gone for Francisco Sierralta of Watford.
Yeah.
I've been really impressed with him this season. 3.6 aerials per game, if we're going statistically, you know, and again, just that real rock at the back for Watford. And I was really surprised and disappointed how he didn't make it into the official team of the season. I thought that was ridiculous. I mean, how Sean Morrison got in there, like, that is one
it
of the biggest questions of life.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And then, you know, it won't come as a surprise to you. Who I've gone for
we'll wait for them, that last centre back, but regular listeners knows he's gonna pick, but we'll wait for that. Will, you just tell us your last centre half first, and then we can get Ed's love affair one out of the way.
Well, see, the problem is I might end up stealing Ed's thunder here, because I think I may have also put the same player down.
No.
Alright then. Go for it, Ed. Go for it, Ed.
Let Ed have his time.
I'm sorry. He's not having Grant Hanley. I'm giving it away, but of course it's Grant Hanley. You know, the Scottish Maldini. I love the guy.
No, that's taking it too far.
211th clearance of the season. 77 interceptions, 100% cross accuracy, I'll have you know. Granted, only one cross, but 100% nonetheless. An ever present in that Canaries defense. And, you know, obviously Ben Gibson got injured, then Omar Bamidele came in, and he was still just as good alongside the young Irish centre back. This is unironic. You know, he's been brilliant this season. Really, really deserved. And it does help that, you know, it is Grant Hanley. So, you know, of course he's going in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will, what do you want to say about the Scotsman?
For me, I went with Hanley because if I was playing three at the back, I would want that kind of just solid man in the middle. And to be fair to him, I'm maybe not as passionate as Ed, but he is a very good centre half in the middle. And yeah, those clearances are very impressive numbers. So yeah, that's why I've gone for him.
Yeah. And my two centre halves in my back four are two centre halves that you've already mentioned, lads. And that is Michal Helic and Francisco Sierrata. I think I pronounced that correctly. 7.24 average rating for Helic, I think, which puts him in the top five players in the league. Absolutely ridiculous. And 6.1 aerial duels, 1 per 90, which is, well, it might just point to how much long ball is played in the championship, but I think it's quite frankly ridiculous that. Sierralta, 6.99 average rating, 85.6% pass completion as well, which for me, you know, in the first half of the season under Vladimir Ivic, maybe that wasn't so important for the Orns, but it's such a key component of Sisco's system. Very centre half to be able to play out from the back, and Sierralta is the best in the league at doing so, in my opinion, which obviously means that I've left out Grant Hanley. Sorry, Ed, I just felt that over the season there was two centre halves in the league who were better than him.
It's okay. I will forgive you in time. Don't worry. As I'm sure Grant will. I'm sure Grant's watching, and you know, he'll have his favourites. Let's put it that way.
Well, on a certain other podcast which features 6'6" former England striker, they all mentioned three dream guests that they want on. I mean, I don't know about me and Will's dream guests, but Grant Hanley. If anyone knows how to get in contact with Grant Hanley, get in touch, and we want him on the pod.
Oh, genuinely.
We'll just leave Ed to it. We can just go home early. Leave Ed to it.
100%. That'd be life complete. 100%.
Yeah. Can you just reiterate your formations to me, lads, just so I can sort of work out how we're going to sort out these midfields?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've gone for 3-5-2.
And I'm Will's right. I'm 3-4-3. Yeah, 3-4-3.
So let's right. Let's go. What for me is going to be a left and right midfield, but Will's going to be left and right midfield, but not winger, if you get what I mean. And yourself,
left and right centre mid.
Yeah.
I'll skip around. I'll let you lads just get these wingers out of the way.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll start off then. There's nothing controversial in these two picks. Emi Buendia and Arnaud Danjuma, two of the league's standout players this season, really have set it alight. Emi Buendia, you know, 15 goals, 16 assists, but so much more than that. His ball retention stats, everything about him, you know, he's amazing. And we've harped on about him many a time, but how Norwich and Stuart Webber managed to keep him and the other players like Cantwell in this division, you know, even if they do go in the summer, like Aarons looks to be going to Everton, you know, still a huge achievement. And then Arnaud Danjuma, 15 goals, 7 assists. Again, amazing stats. A cherry side that I've often felt has been stifled this season, but he's still managed to get that bit of freedom and create chances and create goals. And been integral to their sort of strong finish the campaign. And if the Cherries are to do anything in the playoffs, you would imagine that man would definitely have his fair share of a say. So, uncontroversial, but very hard to argue against, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Who have you got in them positions, Will?
So, obviously, I'll get it out of the way. Buendia as well. How can you not have him in? Just unbelievable this season. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. And then For my other winger spot, I think there was a few. Obviously, Ed went with Danjuma. You know, fair enough. There was Ismail Assar was another shout. But I have actually gone maybe a little bit controversial, and I've gone with Sergi Canos from Brentford. And that's because I think...
What?
Look at these faces.
This is a disgrace.
Ah, they're slandering me
Even
again.
Even Brentford fans wouldn't have him in.
9 goals, 8 assists. That's impressive stats. You know, we're talking about...
Please tell me you're fishing for bites.
Go on, then. What's wrong with Sergi Canos?
For a start, this first half of the season, Brentford fans absolutely slated him on Twitter and stuff. They hated him.
I don't like the fans.
He's a good
my
player,
head.
but seeing him this season, really.
But could you not say the same about Danjuma? First half of the season not being effective. The second half, you know.
Yeah, but the numbers on Danjuma are ridiculous. And also that feeling.
Danjuma's
as well.
Integral.
Yeah.
Danjuma was integral to that Bournemouth system where Sergi Canos isn't.
9 goals and 8 assists. There, that's important numbers.
15 goals and 7 assists.
Okay.
Listen, it's opinions, isn't it? I mean, it's an interesting one.
I just like it.
It's a very interesting one.
But every time I watch Brentford play, although it is a limited amount of time, I do think I just like his style of play. And, you know, when I've watched Ismail Assar and Danjuma in the game that I've seen them in personally, they haven't been as effective as I think he has. But, like I say, it's opinion-based.
On Canos, I remember last season when you played Brentford at home and he absolutely tore you a new one. Like, Jordan Williams was having nightmares in his sleep that night.
Yeah.
Genuinely,
yeah.
He was unplayable. Like, on his day...
The whole B side ripped us apart that day, if we're being honest.
Yeah, that was a good day.
We were in the midst of that sort of spell under Daniel Stendel where we were just absolutely honking shite so much every week.
And Patrick Schmidt on to try and save a goal.
Oh, dear.
Don't diss Schmidt.
Yeah, you cannot
diss
Patrick Schmidt. That man will.
I mean,
after his winner against Forest. That's enough for me. And his Millwall winner.
Yeah.
He's got some important goals for us.
Yeah.
Is that
Yeah. Have a go at Dimitri Kvara for being lazy at right back.
you've unlocked a new memory there.
Oh,
God. A memory I never thought I had. Dimitri Kvara.
That feels like so long ago. Like, how was that like a year ago? That is just, wow, ridiculous.
We've gone Kvara up so many levels. FC Sion in Switzerland. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Not quite Callum.
I remember the days when, like, watching you had, like, Callum Elder on loan and stuff like that. They were the darkness.
Don't remind me of it, Ed. It was a painful time watching him in Geoffrey
Fryers as well. Geoffrey Fryers, I remember him. Playing,
we're in the glory days now.
What was this?
Yeah. How mental is it that we're in a playoff semi-final, by the way? And only 2 years ago, Zeki Fryers was at left back and Danny Pinios.
Wow. What?
Up the bloody Reds, eh?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, moving on to central midfielders. Unless you want to say anything else on nostalgic shite Barnsley players, Ed.
Just going to say what a player Conor Mahoney was. You know what I mean? When we're talking generational Barnsley players. Got to put him in there.
I would say the Luke Goddard quote, but we'd probably get banned off YouTube if I said it in full about Colin Mahoney, so I won't. Central midfielders then, lads. I'll kick us off with my first two. If we're going on FIFA standards, which I know all the 30-plus-year-old men listening won't like, I am playing a 4-3-3-4 variation. So my sort of two sitting midfielders are Alex Mowat and James Garner. Now... maybe not to the extent that Ed Jadore's Grant Hanley, do I Jadore James Garner, but I think he's absolutely magnificent. And I know first half of the season he was quite bad at Watford, but then again they did play him as a number 10. So I don't think you can really have a go at him that much. And when you consider also that since he's gone to Nottingham Forest, they've been fifth in the form table, it just shows that him and I'd probably say, well, if I'm being honest, I don't really want to give him much credit because I think he's a bit of a filthy player, but him, Knockaert, Graben, in a sense, have sort of brought Forest back into form second half of the season, but mainly Garner. And I've got some stats here: 6.98 average rating for the season, which is very, very good considering how poor he was at Watford for 3 months, and an 80.9% pass completion rate in a league that is obviously renowned for midfielders biting at your feet every time you get on the ball.
Yeah.
I think he's destined for a career in the Premier League. Maybe not with Manchester United, because I'm not quite sure if he's at that level. But I think he's certainly a sort of Declan Rice replacement for West Ham at the very least. And yeah, I really do love him. And there's a man I love even more sat next to him in the midfield, in Alex Mowat. His Reds career obviously got off to the greatest of starts in a 3-1 defeat to Wolves, in which he was sent off within the first half. He was then loaned out to Oxford. But the past three seasons, you'll agree with me, Will, he's been our Superman, he's been our Batman, he's been our Captain Tarn. Yeah. And, you know, he's just been outstanding.
Yeah.
A 6.96 average rating for Mowat, most importantly for me, 15 goals and assists. Ridiculous from his role, where he sort of sits and plays box to box. 76 tackles, 37 interceptions, and he's played pretty much every minute of every match, apart from, bizarrely enough, our two games against Norwich. So, not only for the consistency, not only for the longevity, but if I ask you this, Ed, as a Wednesday, I think Alex Mowat's the best centre mid in the league at the minute.
I'd agree, 100%. He can do everything. Yeah, a classic left foot centre in the Championship, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think he's easily head and shoulders above anyone else in the Championship right now.
Yeah. Here's a question for you, Tom. Do you think Alex Mowat has reached, not necessarily quality, but in terms of the fans-wise, is he as in love as Conor Hourihan was at the Reds?
It's a tough one, I think, because Conor will always have that. There was just levels to Conor.
Yeah.
But listen, if we get promoted to the Premier League, it pisses all over him, because then he's into the Neil Redfern bracket of Captain Barnes Football Club into the Premier League.
Yep.
Would you take Conor back? There's a thought. If you go to the Premier League,
I wouldn't. I mean, I think some things are just best, you know, left unkept. I think, unkept, or at least ended. And the way that he left Barnes with that goal against Leeds United, it literally couldn't have ended any better for him. And I'd hate for him to come back and just be crap. And that would be my worst nightmare. And if you ask most Swansea City fans, who would you rather have in the midfield for you in the playoff first leg, they'd say Mowat. So, yeah, it's a tough question, Will. I'd probably say not just yet, but in a week's time, 2 weeks' time, I'll be telling you Alex Mowat might be the greatest footballer to have ever lived. So we'll wait and see on that one. Throwing it right back to you then, who are your central midfielders?
My two are, of course, Alex Mowat. And mine, I've also gone with Kenny McLean from Norwich. And that's because, you know, I got the nod of approval. It's nice to see that.
I feel like that. Have you ever seen that Chase meme?
they're giving the nod of approval. That's what I got. Yeah. But no, I think, you know, Norwich has a lot of talk, and rightly so, about their amazing front men going forward. But, you know, they do need a player like Kenny McLean, who sits back a little bit in that midfield, and he's very good at doing so. Average rating of 7.12 is, you know, he's consistent, he does the job. And, yeah, I think him alongside Mowat would be a very good midfield indeed.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's just been injured, hasn't he? So he's going to miss the Euros.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is a shame for him.
He was another sort of player that was written off almost at Norwich. Himself, Francic, obviously leaving, Tetti's leaving, Leitner, Tribal, they're all those sort of players, but he seems to have re-established himself in that central midfield role alongside Oliver Pitt, who I think is unlucky not to make, well, he's not going to make my team, he obviously hasn't made either yours, so I think Skip's an honourable mention, really is.
I said this in a podcast a couple of weeks ago, I don't get the Oliver Skip hype.
I agree with the sentiment of just the idea of there being hype around him, because Tottenham youngster goes along to Norwich. What's that? Harry Kane. You know what I mean? You're thinking that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Obviously, completely different position, but I do think he'll be good enough for a lower league Premier League side, and I don't see any reason why not going back to Norwich next season wouldn't make sense. But I understand what you mean about this idea of him being this incredible holding midfielder, but I think there's also an element of him being so integral to that system with the attacking quality that Norwich have got, that you need that sort of anchor man who can also go forward. I'll go with my I've got three midfielders, so I'll go with my two sort of more box to box, and I'll say my more attacking midfielder, because I know you've got one, Tom. No surprise, I've gone for Alex Mowat. I really, 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 really like him. I know I'm putting a second Barnsley player in there. Don't worry, it is hurting me just as much as you can imagine. I've gone for a little bit of a left field one, actually, with my second pick.
Right.
You know, teams like Barnsley, we're talking Luton Town. So we're going to go Kiernan Dewdrey-Hall. I've been really impressed with him. Obviously, Luton have had an incredible season, really, if we're being honest, there for what they were at last season. And Nathan Jones has done a sterling job. Top half finish, you really can't knock it. And Dewsbury Hall, he's only 22, and he's got 3 goals, 6 assists, and he's been so integral to every part of that success. And another player who could definitely go on to a lower end Premier League side perhaps next season. It's a tough one to break into that Leicester side, I think.
Yeah, it's very tough.
It is. But, you know, I certainly maybe see him, I don't know, the team's coming down, he could go to, say, a West Brom or a Fulham or something like that, you know, a top-end championship side next season on loan. I've been really impressed by him.
Put it this way, I mean, if we get promoted to the Premier League and there's any chance of Dewsbury Hall being available, I think he's the sort of player we'll go for. Because... Yeah. He'd be the perfect partner for Alex Mowat. I mean, Ramal Palmer's been great for us this season, but Dewsbury Hall would be just another level. And we saw it last season with Conor Gallagher, and he's definitely made a step up for West Brom. You know, he's been a decent player in a bad team, and I think Dewsbury Hall could probably do the same.
I'm just going to ask you there about Ramal Palmer, because every time I've seen him, been lumped off on about 60 minutes, or he's just been like you haven't noticed he's there at all, for good or for bad. Apart from the Chelsea FA Cup game where he came on late and had a stinker,
one thing I'd say is, in this current Barnsley team, getting taken off after an hour isn't an insult on how you've played.
You're
expected for that hour to have run your legs off, and if you have, so you're probably knackered. So I'd say that's why. And with you, I know what you mean by you sometimes don't know he's on the pitch, but I think you can switch that into a positive way, in the fact of he's doing his job, and so you don't think, oh, where's Palmer? He's just getting on with his job. And, you know, he leaves the sort of pulling the strings to Mowat, but putting in the yards, running box to box, pressing Ramal Palmer is very underrated, in my opinion.
I also see where your point, Ed, in the sense that I agree with Will that sometimes in our system it is best to go unnoticed, because it means you're keeping the shape and you're holding your position, not making mistakes. But there has been plenty of games where Palmer's gone missing. I mean, off the top of my head, and it was bad against Wednesday.
He was pretty bad
in some other games that I probably couldn't mention off the top of my head. It's just one of them things. He's 22, but it is only his second season in men's football, because he had injuries. And to be fair, I think he's done very well last few games. Obviously, me and Will kept a close eye on the Derby Wednesday game, so we might not be able to give you the pristine analysis that we normally do on a Barnsley match. But in the absence of Alex Mowat, he looked like a real senior midfielder against Norwich. He took the game by the scruff of the neck, and anything that drove us forward from the midfield came from the right boot of him.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in the playoffs, because he's the type of player, like I said, if he turns up in a playoff semi-final against Swansea, he will just tear their midfield a new one. He'll just be megging Jay Fulton for 90 minutes. And I'm probably going to end up eating my words here, but he's the sort of player who doesn't score all season, then twats one in the playoff final.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And yeah, I think he's had a decent season.
Yeah. Let's go on to our attacking midfielders then. Will
I've used
you...
up all mine, yeah. I'm midfielded out.
Well, have you got two wingers or so three strikers?
They're three strikers, mine, really, I'll be honest.
Right. So. In that case, me and Tom will just round up the midfield area. I'll go first. Michael Lise.
Right.
He's been just excellent. Another real talent at Reading. 7 goals, 12 assists. Young player of the year, wasn't he, for the EFL? Mm. All three of us voted him for our young player of the year.
On
the three shortlist, of course.
Yeah.
That was very subjective, and I'm sure there'll be some differences. 96 chances created, 84 key passes, and just brilliant under Paunovic this season. In a team that's been focused around, solid defence and then going forward from that base. So, I've been really impressed by him. And definitely one that I think we won't see too much more in the Championship. It'll be Premier League time for him.
Well, I was going to ask you both this, lads. If Elise does get a move to, let's say, Aston Villa in the summer, do you think he's matured enough physically and mentally as a footballer to really make an impact in the Premier League, even if it's just sort of on the level of Matheus Pereira has this season?
I think he has. I think this idea perhaps of them not being mentally prepared, but I think with the modern game, the amount of stress they're under anyway in the Championship, the step up, I don't think it's the same as it perhaps once was.
Yeah.
You know, the scrutiny of social media and all that's brought, obviously with the rise of the influence of the Championship as well with TV rights and stuff like that, I think we see the step up more. Just look at Eze this season at Palace. Okay, he hasn't set the world alight, but ask any Palace fan, he's one of the most enjoyable players to watch. And, I think that sort of move to a mid-lower level Premier League club wouldn't, put him out of place at all.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. As my attacking midfielder, you've already mentioned him, lads, but Emiliano Buendia, what a player. We've spoken about him many times, so I'm not going to go off too long, but he's one of the best players I've seen at this level, and to maintain a 7.78 average for 46 matches of a Championship season, quite frankly, it's just ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And to get over 30 goal contributions as well, I mean, I know football's not played on a spreadsheet, but the guy does it on the spreadsheet, he does it on the pitch, and I speak so much these days about players who make you feel something. Buendia, he makes you feel something, and I think we need more players like that in the Championship. So Stuart Webber, get the City relegated again and bring in some lad from Argentina, because I want to see another Emi Buendia-esque player, because there's no chance we're ever going to see him in the Championship ever again, sadly.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Tom. He's just... But just one of those players, isn't he? You're just way too good, so sort of enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, 100%. So, you've got two strikers to go, haven't you, Ed? Will? Will, you've got three.
Yeah.
I've got two strikers and a winger, so...
Okay.
I'll get my winger out the way. Arnaud Danjuma. So, yeah, once again, Ed's already mentioned him. I did ridicule you for Sergio Canos, but it was more the fact that you didn't go for Danjuma, Will.
Yeah.
I just think he's been so good. And in games where we played against Bournemouth, every time he got the ball, I shit myself. I thought he's going to do something with it.
Yeah,
even if he was 30 yards out. And I'm very, very scared if we get to the playoff final and you're on the Wembley turf and you've got Arnaud Danjuma running at Solbauer or Civic. genuinely frightens me. And yeah, just moreover, in a more general view of the league and his performances in the league, 7.21 average rating and 22 goal contributions, which I think is very impressive in a poorly coached Bournemouth team this year. So striker time, boys. This has been very, very hard for me to whittle down, as I'm sure it has been for you lads. Well, do you want to go one at a time, or do you want to just do it in sort
Should
of?
Can we
one
get the obvious one out of the way?
Ivan Toney.
Yeah.
Who wants to start first on Toney then?
Go on, Ed. You bring him up.
I'll speak about him. You know, let's just say this will be the first award Ivan's going to be getting from me tonight, which I'm sure he'll be delighted to hear. 31 goals, 10 assists. You know, I know that Brentford side is full of quality, but at times it seems that he's been the only one with said quality. You know, he is the complete striker. I can't think of one weakness to his game. And if I'm being honest, I don't think it's ridiculous to say he should be in that squad for the Euros. Okay.
I think it is. I think you're jumping
I think
a bit.
I think, you know, EFL players far too much get overlooked.
Yeah, but in a forward area where England have got so much talent. I mean, last season, Calvin Phillips should have been in the England squad while they were in the Championship, because England lacked defensive midfield options.
Let's go through England's options, because you've got Kane. Yeah.
Just central strikers.
Kane, Calvert-Lewin.
Bamford,
Watkins, and then say Toney. It'll be a gamble. It'll be a risk. The 26-man squad. Who knows? The likelihood is that those extra three spaces can be taken by the likes of Greenwood. You know, an extra right back because we need another one of them, don't we? But you know, I don't think it's ridiculous to put him in that conversation. And
yeah, it's a conversation.
Another great bit of business by the bees. But you know, it wasn't like who's this guy they've found from the lower leagues. You know, this guy was banging him obviously for Posh last season. They took the gamble, 7 million I think they paid for him. You know, people thought, hang on, this guy was, let's face it, shite at Newcastle, shite at Barnsley. You know,
he was bad. Listen, let me just clear this up. He was terrible at Barnsley.
He was awful.
He went six months without scoring.
And you know, look at him now. Credit to him. You know, he's got that sort of arsehole nature when he's playing, which I like in a player. You know what I mean? He's a bit of a shithouse. Off the top of my head, when we played Brentford at home, Callum Patterson scored, did a celebration, and then Toney scored and did the exact same celebration back. You know, that sort of, you know, shithousery is what I appreciate. And yeah, I think he's been absolutely brilliant this season.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I just love the anti-Wednesday shithousery, to be honest. I hate you boys.
Anything.
Yeah. I think you summed it up well. I don't want to add anything to that. What about you, Will?
No. Yeah. Just the goals on its own speak for itself. Like, he could have literally done nothing else, but those goals alone get him that place in the team of the year, don't they? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, let's go on to the second one.
Yeah. Obviously, Will's got third, so he can leave that to last, but I think I've probably got a bit of a controversial one here as my second striker. I have got Keith Omar.
Keith Omar.
Well, I mean, that's insane.
Oh, dear.
Once some kid met Keith Omar and his mum on Facebook thought he was called Keith Omar.
There's not many Keithers walking around Barnsley, in fairness.
God.
I don't think it's that controversial, I'll be honest with you, Tom. Like, okay, there's lots to pick from, but, you know, he's got a hell of a lot of goals.
Yeah, so I've got Keith in my team of the year. a 7.56 average rating, the second best in the league. 20 goals as well, which, for a striker who, even at Barnsley, never looked clinical enough to do them sort of numbers, even in League One. He's done it in the Championship, and he wins on average 10.5 aerial duels per match. That is absolutely ridiculous. Without him, Cardiff, I don't think it's hyperbole to say without him, Cardiff would have been staring down the barrel at a Derby County-esque season. He's been their talisman. He's been outstanding. And I do want to mention his actual full name, not just his adopted Barnsley illiterate name. Because I think he's probably got the best name in football.
Absolutely.
Kiefer Roberto Francisco Moore. What a name. And an even better footballer.
And also, may I add, part of the half of the best chant ever created by the Barnsley fan base, in to the tune of Karma Chameleon, Karma 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 McGeehan, and Kiefer Moore. Genuinely, my favourite chant you guys ever created. The fact that
it's awful.
McGeehan doesn't even fit in there makes it even better.
And why were we singing about Cam McGeehan? What was going on there?
It was from your League One promotion days. Genuinely.
I was reading an old blog post of mine, and I did, on the Ponty end, I did 11 best players for 11 years of the blog. Barnsley fans voted Cameron McGeehan as one of our, as our best centre-mid of the last 11 years. The midfield was Hourihan, Howard, McGeehan. It's disgraceful, and is now going out with someone off Made in Chelsea.
Is he still playing in Belgium?
Well, playing for Ostend. But he's been, he played most of the first half of the season, and Ostend were struggling. He got injured, and now they're in the Europa League places.
That's your Cam McGeehan.
Cam McGeehan.
It's the fact he doesn't fit for me. If it fit, it'd be a class chant. And the fact he doesn't fit, it just makes it even better. But no, I think Kiefer Moore, a great shout. I'll go next, though, because I haven't gone for Kiefer Moore. I've gone for I'm just thinking what you said about this guy, Tom. I've gone for, if I say your favourite dwarf since
the most magical dwarf since Warwick Davis I've ever seen.
There's no other man it could be other than Adam Armstrong. Again, another ex-Barnsley player. And, you know, he's got the best minutes per goal ratio in the league with 123 minutes per goal. That's only by 1 minute, may I add, to Ivan Toney. 28 goals, the most non-penalty goals for you slightly weird people who think that penalties shouldn't be counted as goals in overall stats, which is a new one to me. And, yeah, you know, in a very poor Blackburn side at times, he's been a real beacon of light. And another season of goal scoring threat. You know, it's not a one off, and I'm sure a Premier League move has to be coming his way, in my opinion. Especially if Tony Mowbray stays at Blackburn Rovers. I've been really impressed by him. I had to be the
right
Jordan.
Yeah, the wee man.
That was, I'll just say that Armstrong was one of my three strikers as well. So I will Tony and Armstrong, because, like Ed said, in a Blackburn side who have not performed amazingly this season, to get that many goals is so impressive. And I think the thing with Armstrong is just how clinical he was. You know, not many chances came his way, and yet he still managed to get that amount of goals. It's very impressive. Another ex-Barnsley player banging them in. You'd love to see it. I mean, seriously, we've had Tony, Kiefer Moore and Armstrong. Like, what are we doing to these players?
We only produce the best. I mean, combined, them three must have literally got about 28 goals for the club.
Yeah,
combined.
Like yeah.
Who have you got as your final striker then, Will? Just then we can start going into the individual awards.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it was a closest shout for some of you lads, which is Teemu Pukki. Again, 26 goals, 4 assists in an absolutely unreal season from Norwich. I still cannot believe this man cost Norwich City nothing. I think that's one of the most impressive things, the fact that they got him on a free. In that Norwich team, goals could have, we saw in the Brentford team that Tony was the main source of goals. In this Norwich team, you know, there's been a lot of competition for goals, and yet still pick up 26 is very impressive. That's why I've put Pukki in there.
And like you said, Will, nothing for Timu Pukki is ridiculous. And the only thing that sort of pissed me off about Pukki this season is Premier League plastics. Going, player of month for 1 month, good on FIFA. Listen, this guy has been banging goals in for fun for years now, and he gets far too disrespected from Premier League fans. And I really hope he goes up next year and just bangs him in all season.
Yeah,
because he really is a hard, he's a grafter. He's not like in the Adam Armstrong and Ivan Toney work hard, but they are just pure finishers.
Yeah,
and Timu Pukki grafts his arse off for his chances. And yeah, I love him personally. As a, once again, as a non-Barnsley player, I think he's one of my favourites in the league.
Yeah, definitely. Should we get on to the individual awards?
Indeed.
Yes.
Building. Should we start with the sort of least relevant one, which will be most improved, I think.
Yeah.
Still, you know, a great accolade to have in your trophy cabinet.
Oh, you'd be buzzing to have it.
You would indeed. I'll start things off with this one. Obviously, there's sort of one club that you're thinking they've had, you know, if you had to be club, it'd be QPR.
And Barnsley, mate.
What can I say?
I'm talking over the course of the season, boys. I'm talking over the course of
most
season,
improved just in general. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
And so I've gone for... I mean, that's semantics there. That's the blueprint. I didn't read the blueprint of what each award stands for. I thought it was from the start of the season to the end of the season. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to say Rob Dickey, centre-back for QPR. Yeah. Didn't have, like, an amazing start. Obviously, QPR were poor for that first half of the season and then really turned it on the second half of the season. Credit to Mark Warburton. There were many calling for him to go over the sort of winter period. And, you know, he silenced those critics. Dickie's been integral to that. You know, 43 games played this season in the league. He's only missed one, three goals, one assist in that time, an average rating of 7.06. You know, signed him on. How much was it from Oxford actually?
I think it was about 2.5 mil, wasn't it? It was expensive for a League One player, but it's been more than worth it, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's been brilliant. There was him, and then this is a bit of a tangent now, actually, but. Charlie Goode, who Brentford signed from Northampton Town, League Two. Everyone expects a lot from him. Obviously, it hasn't happened, but no. Rob Dickey, my most improved player, and sort of mirrored the success of that QPR team over the course of the season.
I'll go for my most improved player, and this isn't even the Barnsley bias. My most improved player, and if I was to add it, I think the fourth best centre half in the league, just below Sieralta, Helic and Hanley. Mess, UL, Ennison, or as people from Tarn know him, Mads Andersen. He's been unbelievable for Barnsley this season. He's played every minute of every game, and apart from like sort of half an hour of the Reading game where he got sent off. He's been unbelievable for us this season, and I love the guy. He's such an I don't know him, but you just want to go up to him and give him a hug. Last season it was like you wanted to go up to him, give him a hug, tell him everything's gonna be okay. This season he's torn championship defenders to shreds at times, and he's probably the only centre half who I've seen do an effective job on Ivan Toney. In the sense he didn't give him a sniff, and that was at the Brentford Community Stadium when we beat him 2-0. Toney didn't have a chance that game. It was because of Mess Anderson. I'm going to call him Mads. It's easier, isn't it, lads? 7.19 average rating, 248 aerial duels won all season, 95 interceptions, 202 clearances, 60 tackles completed, and 5 assists, of which I think 4 were laid on for his centre-back partner, Mikhail Helic. Literally the most improved player in this division by far for me, and I really hope, whether we're in it next season or not, I really hope I see him playing in the Premier League one day and playing for Denmark too. Will, who is your most improved player?
Okay, here comes Will with his controversial choices. Here we go. Again, maybe a bit of Barnsley bias, but I think it's fair enough. I've gone with Carlton Morris. And that is because...
Yeah.
We've signed him from MK Dons. Okay. Well, we've signed him from Norwich. He was on loan at MK Dons start of this season. He's played 18, started 14 and scored 3 goals. He's come to Barnsley. He started 6 games. He's scored 7 goals and got 3 assists. And of those 7 goals, how important have some of those goals been, Tom? You know, we're talking winners.
Blackburn, Bournemouth, not Rotherham.
154 minutes. 154 minutes per goal. The kid's a player, and he sums up most improved, in my opinion, because he's come from League One, not performing, moved up into the Championship, and he's putting unreal performances in and causing real issues for defenders in the Championship. These sort of direct running at defenders and making them panic, scoring goals. I think he's been brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I think it's one of them shouts where Championship fans won't have seen him in League One. Mm-hmm. So they'll go, oh, he's always been good.
Yeah, yeah.
But MK Dons fans will tell you he just wasn't converting chances when he was playing for that fake football club. So moving on then, boys, we do have to go to our next least important award, although I'm sure it'll sit proud in the trophy cabinet of some players, and that is unsung hero. Will, do you want to kick us off with your unsung hero?
Yeah, I mean, there's no big surprise there. I've already spoken about him in this episode, and that's Kenny McLean at Norwich. I sort of touched on the fact that Norwich, you know, rightly so, he's talked about a lot for its Pookie, Buendia, Cantwell, etc. You know, McLean's a player where you wouldn't hear that much about him, and yet he plays such a vital role in that Norwich team. And so, for me, he's the unsung hero.
Yeah, yeah, I think you've summed it up well there. And also, when you inducted him to the team, in the sense that, I mean, you got the nod of approval from me and Ed, because it was like, that's a cultured football take. But yeah, I think he's been really good for Norwich this season. Ed, who is your unsung hero? And don't tell me it's Josh Windass.
It isn't. I'm going to go for Callum O'Hare.
Yeah.
Saw this kid when he played for Carlisle on loan. Well, went to a few Carlisle games and he was brilliant. And then obviously he was at Coventry City last season, got promoted, went back to them this season. 3 goals, 8 assists. But that's not just O'Hare for me. For me, the most impressive thing about O'Hare, he's won possession the most times than any other player in the final third. 44 times. He presses really, really well. He's that tricky sort of floater in between the lines, linking play, getting important goals and assists. And yeah, I think he's really, really impressed me this season. And, you know, he's a move away to possibly higher level club in offing. I don't think so yet. I think he still needs to prove himself to be more consistent over the course of the full Championship campaign. But in the future, definitely not. I mean, he does look like a BTEC Grealish, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
With the hair, the low socks, being an expert player, you know. But no, I think he's been a real sort of, you know, unassuming. You know, not many have talked about him, but no, an integral part to what's been, on the whole, a pretty successful campaign for Mark Robbins.
Yeah, I agree with Don O'Hare. I've said on the podcast before, I think if we stay in the Championship, I think he'd be a really good Alex Smith replacement. In the sense, I think he's underrated in his ball-winning abilities. My unsung hero is Ryan Ledson. I think he's really gone under the radar because Preston haven't hit their usual sort of playoff pushing heights. And yeah, he's taken over the role of what usually Alan Brown or Daniel Johnson partakes in the sense that they've been Preston's main man. And when Frankie McAvoy handed him the captaincy, it was a genius, it was a masterstroke from FMC. And yeah, I really like Ryan Ledson. I think he's a really good player, and 6.92 average rating from the middle of the park. I'm looking forward to seeing him next season in the Championship, because I think he really could have a Moa-esque season next year. Manager of the year then, lads.
I think we're in agreement.
No, we're not.
We're not.
I've gone against him.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Seriously, I love
Valerian Ismail more than I've loved any Barnsley manager ever. But I can't ignore Daniel Farke. 99 points. How can you ignore that?
By having one of the best teams in the league. Nah, I'm joking. I know what you mean.
Ismail, for me, even when the manager of the year or EFL Awards happened, I was like, Ismail deserves it. But just when you see that Daniel Farke team in the flesh and the way they knock the ball around, and it's not even the better players in the team sometimes that he gets the best out of. I mean, when Adam Eder came on against us, he looked like Farke had given him something, you know, a Pep Guardiola-esque maybe shot in the arm, allegedly. I think he's been a cracking manager, but I'll let you boys lord about Big Val now, because...
I'll let Will lord about Big Val. I'm just ashamed I've picked a bad manager and you haven't.
I think, yeah, if there was an underrated relationship in the Championship, Daniel Farke and Valerian Ismail's relationship would be up there. They seem like best mates already. I don't know what's that about, but you love to see it.
It's the greatest bromance since Jimmy Bullard and Cal Fogarty. It really is. It's beautiful.
But no, Big Val, where do I start? Typical Barnsley appointment came in. They were like, who knows this guy? Everyone has to do the research. He got sacked very early on in his other careers. He, you know, as a player, he was played at a decent level, but you know, it was this kind of what are we getting ourselves into here? And wow, just wow, what, you know, he came in and immediately he put, you know, he imposed his style of play on the boys. And since then, we have been, well, one of the best teams in the Championship and have deservedly got our playoff spot. And that has been massively down to Valerian Ismail and his style of football. He's managed to combine a kind of high press attacking football with long ball traditional football, which Wayne Rooney loves to moan about. And it's just beautiful. You know, it's this idea that if you play long ball football, you can't be a good team. And that is just one of the most stupid things I've seen, because we've shown this season that people have tried doing it against us. It doesn't work. We do it and we score and are in the playoffs from doing it. So there is a skill to it. And it's not just a case of oofing the ball upfield. And Ismail is, he's just a genius. And I think he's got that side to him of, while tactically he's been brilliant, the sort of team spirit at Barnsley at the moment is just unbelievable. It feels like a proper team of lads. There's no individuals on that pitch. They're a team. They all play for each other. And that's all down to the manager, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything more to add to that. I think you've summed up brilliantly. He's a magician. Yeah, quite frankly, he's a magician. Moving on to our player of the year then, because I think we've pretty much lauded these players for ages in the pod anyway.
I think just naming them, isn't it? Giving them their glory.
I'm literally just going to one wording, because I've spoke about it for ages, and that's Buendia. I changed my mind. I'm not one wording it. I changed my mind a couple of weeks back, like I did with Ismail and Farke. I mean, the Norwich fans, when we said Tony was our player of the year, they came for us in their droves and in their tractors. they were furious. But I'm inclined to agree. I just think he's a magician, isn't he? And there's always goal scorers in the Championship. You know, we've seen it with Glenn Murray in the past. But I don't think we've seen anyone like Buendia ever in the Championship. Flair-wise, there's a little bit of him interrupt, but I just think he's a completely unique player. That's why he's That's why he's my player of the year. Who have you lads got?
Go on, Ed.
Yeah, one word, Tony.
Fair enough. Well, I'll take over. Again, I've gone with Tony. Little bit of reasoning. Like you said, Tom, goal scorers do come around a lot, but to break the goal scoring record and get 10 assists, those numbers, like, for me, I just can't ignore them. And so, yeah, Ivan Tony.
Yeah, fair enough, lads. The last award of the evening then, young player of the Young Player of the Year. Sorry if you're listening, if you've got to this point. It's been a long day. Young Player of the Year then, lads. Who have we got?
I'll go first. He didn't actually feature in my team, and that's because I don't think he really fit in, but I've got Michael Olise. Wow. We spoke on him earlier, so I'll not say too much more, but to break onto the scene like he has, God, like he has. It's
what
so...
are you thinking, everybody? The other one thinking you're Michael Olise.
Well, we just took good, what can I say? Oh, dear. But no, he has been brilliant. he has been brilliant. And yeah, we spoke on him earlier. Such a young player, lots of potential. So we'll hope to see, keep your eye on him.
Yeah, Ed.
Yeah, I agree. Olise for me, 100%.
I've gone for Callum Stiles. This is Barnes biased. I'm not even going to hide it.
Don't worry about
it. If I was being a neutral, I'd probably say Olise, but Stiles is the one player in our team that could probably play for England. So just for that, I'm putting him in. And I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that he might be declaring for Hungary through his grandparents. So that'd be interesting, because I think he's an international player. And other than, obviously, stats, he's, once again, I said it earlier in the pod, he's one of them players who's just a magician with the ball at his feet. And yeah, I love watching Callum Stiles play. And that's why he's my Young Player of the Year. Well, awards season is officially over for the Championship and Premier League. And the Championship season is over in the regular season. Obviously, we have to mention the elephant in the room of Sheffield Wednesday's relegation. But there will be a lot of fallout from that. And we're going to have it covered. We're going to have a podcast with Athletic writer Nancy Frostick coming out very soon, and we're also hopefully going to have a Sheffield Wednesday season review coming as well. Live streams, we're looking into it, so hang on, and you might be able to see these faces for 120 minutes very, very soon. I don't think there's anything else to mention, lads. I've enjoyed doing these awards shows, and I can't wait to put this suit in the washing machine.
Yeah.
Hang it up for next year.
Yeah.
No, I think, first of all, I want to thank the players for coming and coming to the awards ceremony.
Of course.
To see their awards.
Wouldn't be possible without them.
Yeah, some great speeches tonight. From there. A lot of calls for world peace. Thanks very much for listening, guys. I've got nothing more to add.
Yeah. As always, please, if you listen on YouTube, drop a like, subscribe, and leave a comment. Who was your player of the year in the Championship? Follow us on Twitter at FloodlightPod, as always, as well. You can find us on Spotify and Apple. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with another podcast soon.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.